Here we go. It's the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Amy.
I'm Steve.
That's two weeks in a row.
He doesn't matter. I'm Amy.
At least you didn't interrupt anybody this time.
I was getting there.
Here we go. That was the Johnny McQuaig Band here, official song of the Piffles Podcast. And you hear them when you get to the games.
It's a lot better amp up song than that. What was that song? Oh, why can't I remember? They had a couple years ago that Bon Jovi had. This is our house.
Yeah.
God, I hated when they played that as our amp up song.
So we've all improved. We've got this song, Here We Go, as our welcome song to the show and to games. Give us a follow on Twitter at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
And I am at RealAmyD.
And you can give Greg a follow as well at GregOnSports. He's unavailable this week. Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. And give us a little follow on the old Instagram. Give us the old double taps and the hearts and all that good stuff there as well. Just search PifflesPod.
What does a double tap do?
That likes it.
That just likes it.
It's the same as hitting the heart.
Yeah, but I don't look at it for anyone else. I just post pictures and see what happens. I don't scroll Instagram. I don't know why.
You haven't delved into the dog Instagram accounts.
No, I don't know if I'd ever leave.
That's why Amy's literally always on Instagram. Check out our website as well too, pivotspodcast.com. Lots of great stuff going out there. And as long as the Riders keep making news, we'll keep putting stuff out there for you. Piffles Podcast brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Check out their half-price drinks during happy hour between 2 and 5, Monday to Friday. The summer blizzard menu and the cheeseburger and double cheeseburger deals. 2 cheeseburgers for $4, 2 double cheese for $6. So heading out to the game on Thursday, stop by DQ right before and after. Why not? Get yourself a blizzard and a couple burgers and have a great time.
We did that last week, actually.
That was fantastic.
Yep.
That was a good idea. So do that. Coming up on the show, we're going to have the opening kickoff. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Riders 23-17 loss to Montreal. And I'm sorry. You know what? I'll take the blame for it. That was my fault. I called it the trap game, and that's exactly what it was.
Good job, Alex.
Well, I also picked them to win, so they didn't hold up their slack. Tallgrass Apparel engaging with the enemy, our Cypress Hills destination area Piffles player profile, our week 4 winner of the Piffles fan contest. You're going to hear from Liz Paradzik in just a little bit. And we're going to preview the Hamilton game coming up here on Thursday Night Football with Josh Smith of the Posky Wee Wee podcast. Let's get things started. Time for the opening kickoff. All right, I'll let you guys go first. That game, 23-17.
There, we're done.
So just like the Ottawa game.
Thanks, Amy. No, yeah. The Ottawa game was excusable. This was not. We, at least in Ottawa, we lost to a team that some could see as being a better football team. We didn't lose to Montreal. We beat ourselves on the way to a 1-2 record.
I think the problem with games like that is the team goes into them saying, oh, we win. Like, they're the junkiest, crappiest team in the league. It's no competition. We win. And then they go in and they're like, oh, oops.
Everybody forgot. Montreal's a pro team too.
Yeah.
And they got shellacked by 46 points the week before to a rookie quarterback in Winnipeg. They were going to be pissed off coming in too, and they showed that wasn't going to happen again. And it, honestly, everyone's talking about how this game would have been a lot different if Thigpen would have caught that pass right off the start of the game for a touchdown, and you know the ball that hit the upright that would have been a touchdown to Caleb Hawley. And yes, they're absolutely right. But Chris Williams dropped a touchdown, was wide open for another one, had Jerron Carter beat by 7 or 8 yards, and the play went the other way. And there was other drops from Montreal. Montreal did everything they could to give that game to the Riders. And the Riders just could not. It's almost like they refused to take it.
The only life I saw from the Riders in that game came on that last kickoff with the, I don't even know what you call that, the dipsy doodle kick return passing back and forth. I love, can we just have a game of football that's nothing but that?
So rugby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go.
Like, that is a sport.
It was just fun to watch. But it was the only time I felt like they were actually
trying
to win the football game. You know, outside of Roosevelt and his miracle catch, which I'm not giving Watford any credit on that. That was horrible pass.
That's going to show up on the NFL like Monday Night Countdown. You got mossed. That was an incredible catch.
But that was it. That was that and what else? I mean, that was just a bad football game in general. There's not a lot of times I leave a football game where I feel like I wasn't entertained.
It was boring.
It was just bad.
Like I can handle a good defensive game, and if it's going to be a low scoring and there's not a lot of offense, I'm all for that. One of the best games I've ever seen was a 17-14 game. Like it's a low scoring game, but there's still big plays being made on both sides of the ball. I can handle that. Yeah. This was just both teams sucked.
It was like, who was trying to lose? Who could do it better?
Who could lose the best?
Yeah, the Riders, I guess, lost the best.
Yeah, that's what
worst?
It felt like.
I don't know.
I don't know how you would word that.
They lost, properly. I guess.
That game reminded me too much of the 2015 Riders.
Oh.
But if the 2015 Riders played the 2015 Riders. Like, that was just bad football.
I actually have something I want to say about it.
Let's get ready to rumble!
So, Steve, last week you ranted about the three-man rush, and that's a Chris Jones specialty. My rant this week is going to be just about Chris Jones and his general tomfoolery, I'll call it, about putting Daron Carter on defense. The novelty has worn out. It doesn't work. He can't cover those small, speedy receivers. Can he do it in a pinch? Absolutely he can. And we saw that against Calgary last year. We saw that on his pick six against Ottawa earlier last week. He cannot keep up with these guys. Chris Williams burned him for a 79-yard touchdown. Should have had probably another two or three touchdowns just with how open he was all game long. The week before, Deontay Spencer had that big long touchdown, and Daron gave up, you know, over 100 yards in receiving yards that game too. Just because he might be the most giftedly athletic person in the league doesn't mean he fits there. And we're you know what? I'll let the cat out of the bag here. Our Tallgrass Apparel engaging with the enemy this week is with Brandon Banks of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and I was able to talk to him a little bit earlier, and I asked him about this, about Daron Carter, and you'll hear his thoughts here, but I don't want to rag on Daron Carter too much because he's put in a poor position by Chris Jones, the head coach and the GM. This is a GM that cut our two backup defensive backs, one Canadian and one American, to bring in a defensive tackle who did nothing that game other than, you know, get a nice penalty against us. And we have 9 defensive linemen on the roster. You don't need another one. What the hell is going on there? And we have no backup defensive backs? What would have happened if Ed Gainey got hurt? What would
Stop saying things like that.
But what would happen? They would move Derek Moncrief back? Who would play at linebacker? Are you going to play Hurl and Judge at the same time? How bad is that defense then? It's inexcusable to have, and thank God they went out and got Matt Elam of the NFL, and we'll talk about that in just a second too. Elam's got to start. It's a short week, so it probably won't happen, but Daron's going to get killed out there by these receivers because they're just going to send their speediest guy. And if I'm Hamilton, I'm throwing Brandon Banks on him every chance I get, trying to get that mismatch. And the first, even if it's not even him, it could be Luke Tasker, it could be somebody else. The very first play of the game for Hamilton, I'm going deep against Daron Carter. Just let my speedy guy run and let him go. And this needs to stop. Daron Carter is on defense. Not saying that it hurts the defense so much, but it hinders what the defense is capable of. But it hurts our offense. And you can see teams can double team Naaman Roosevelt now because there's no other legitimate number one threat on that roster for receivers. And that's no slight against them. They're just not that elite top tier receiver, like a Daron Carter, like a Naaman Roosevelt. So if you take out Roosevelt, you go man on the rest, I'll take my chances as a defensive coordinator against that. And you can bring the blitz, and you have two young quarterbacks with Watford and Bridge. They're running all game long, especially against an O-line that's playing like junk right now. So Chris Jones, I said this in my Tuesday takes. I've always been told KISS, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Put your defensive backs at defensive back. Put your receivers at receiver. Simplify everything and execute.
So you're telling me that taking one of the most dynamic players off of our offense and putting him on defense where he's very clearly ill-suited is a bad idea?
I can see it in a pinch if it happens during a game. Like if Nick Marshall were to get hurt during a game and was out for the remainder of the game, I can see that. That's fine with me. But that's your real plan?
But it,
when we have 40-plus scouts, and you can't tell me you can't find one guy that's playing safety before to come in and play man-on-man?
And that's the part that bugs me the most. It's not so much that Daron Carter's playing D, and I hate that fans are calling him selfish for it like it's his fault. He's doing the exact opposite. He's doing exactly what the coach and the team is asking him to do, and he's doing it to the best of his ability. You cannot knock Daron Carter for the effort he's putting in at defensive back. That's just not his position. He's going up against receivers who have played that position their entire lives and can exploit a rookie. Well, that's exactly what Daron Carter is right now. And worse, he's a rookie who's never played it prior to his time against Calgary last year and this. He didn't play it in high school, college. He's a receiver. That's what he's clearly born to do. How do we not have people behind him? How is he our sixth defensive back? And we said this in training camp, and we're saying it now that he's the fifth defensive back. It's embarrassing. And it's hurting the team on both sides of the ball.
I wasn't a fan of Sam Williams or Chris Lyles, but where are they? They've at least played corn in this league before. They're not the best at it, but could they be worse than Daron Carter? Probably not.
And it puts Daron Carter back where he belongs, giving a rookie... Like, imagine if David Watford had Daron Carter and Naaman Roosevelt to throw to when he came in the second half as a raw rookie, having two elite receivers to throw to as opposed to Roosevelt, Caleb Hawley, and a handful of rookies.
And I'll throw this back last year too with Brandon Bridge when he did look good. His mechanics are honestly not that good for a pro-level quarterback, but he got bailed out a lot by his receivers. And that could happen again this year if they're even going to give him the opportunity to get bailed out by his receivers. And right now, we don't have anybody to bail him out other than Roosevelt, and teams are going to take him away. So it's frustrating and it's embarrassing to see that this team who has 40-plus scouts, and I'm a fan of Chris Jones, but this is getting ridiculous. And this is going to be his downfall. He's too stubborn to admit that he's wrong, and it's hurting this team. And right now, with the way this team is playing, we got two games against Hamilton, and then they start playing the West. Then we got Calgary, Edmonton, Calgary, BC, Winnipeg, Winnipeg. Right now, I can't see this team winning any of those.
God, that is a terrifying schedule after what we've just come through 1-2.
This team could be 1-8 going into Labor Day. And at that point, I know you just signed him to an extension, but can you go forward with Chris Jones then?
I really hope we don't have to get to that point.
I hope so too. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. But just the way that they've played the last couple weeks, you're only as good as your last game. And this was against the supposed dumpster fire in the league, and we got beat fairly handily by them, even though it was a one-score game. There never was a thought in my mind that this team's going to come back and win because they just never looked like they were going to. So positives of the game.
It ended.
yeah, it ended.
Willie Jefferson.
Did he get 3 sacks?
No, just 2. But he did get a fumble recovery as well.
We're seeing
he was the bright spot. The defense, I think, was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They benefited from a couple very easy drops by Montreal, but I think the defense did play pretty well.
Yeah, and they gave up 21 points with short fields a couple of times due to interceptions. I give full props to our defense in that game. And yes, including Daron Carter. Again, it's not his fault he's being put in a position to more or less fail. I have to give a few props to Brett Lauther.
Hey,
he got us $9 off our pizza today.
And when Crepinia went out, that was one concern I had was we have no idea what to expect from him. He's been money. I have no concerns when he steps onto the field. And that's a welcome relief. Crepinia hasn't been bad over the last few years. In fact, he's been quite the opposite. But Rider fans, we're born to expect failure at most aspects of football. So, you know, to have that feeling, it's really nice. So I got to give him, he'd be my player of the game. And the $9 off pizza was was nice.
Amy?
Who looked good?
Yep.
Jefferson.
The long list we got there.
Yep, that's it. Just the one.
Overall grade of the game? You gave them an F- last week.
I was going to say, what's lower than that? Because I don't remember leaving a stadium that embarrassed before. they flunked out.
So F minus 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 minus.
Yeah. S minus.
They got expelled.
Whatever, however many minuses you want to add on there, add one more for me, because that was unacceptable, especially at home. But we plug on. Luckily, it's early in the season, and there's lots of time to bounce back, and hopefully we see that. Talk about some roster news here really quick. The Riders made a splash on the long weekend, signing defensive back Matt Elam. It was a former first-round pick by the Baltimore Ravens in 2013. Kind of labeled as a bust because he got injured and never really regained. Now, he had a pretty good rookie year, but didn't really regain that after his injuries, and then caught a little bit of trouble with the law, which honestly I think is being overblown than it actually was. He got into an argument with his girlfriend about an iPhone, and when it got serious, he walked away. So the team went to the league and said, this is the guy's history. Are we allowed to sign him? The league said yes. No problem.
I still love that was a write up on the Riders.
Of course it was.
The way it was worded.
Oh, made him look like a criminal.
Yeah. The Riders received permission to sign domestic violence player charged with domestic violence. Like,
no, that's an over exaggeration.
I shook my head at that. It's nowhere near as bad as it was made out to be, at least as far as we can tell. And you know, the league approved it. Let's go with it.
And they also signed offensive lineman Braden Schramm. Second round pick out of Hamilton from 2017. He was just released a couple days ago, actually, as well. And there was a lot of thought, hey, hopefully we can get this guy. Signed him to the practice roster, so we need that help. And we need a sixth lineman if Harrison's going to be one of our scratches. So we actually have no backup offensive lineman on the roster. Maybe he steps in right away and he's our sixth lineman. Who knows? Just in emergency purposes. But two very much needed signings. And then the Riders also traded defensive lineman Eric Stryker to Toronto for a Negless player who we actually found out was Denard Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So another running back.
Can't fault him for trying.
And who is Eric Stryker going to beat out here for a job? Charleston Hughes, Willie Jefferson, he wasn't going to beat them out. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, so, I like the move. Even if it pans to nothing, it was a something for nothing trade. I've got no issues with it.
And it's a good deal for both teams.
I really hope that Braden Schramm works out as well as our second round pick from 2017 in Dariusz Pladek.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can have two quality young O-linemen like that, that's a big thumbs up for me.
Absolutely. And Riders also released quarterback Jeremy Johnson. Jeremy, we hardly knew ye. Thanks for coming out. Maybe keep that the number on speed dial in case anything happens.
I think that release makes me feel like Caleros is not going to be on the sixth game for six games. I don't know why I get that feeling from it. Obviously, he was nothing more than a fourth or fifth quarterback, but maybe it's just blind hope.
Honestly, I think after this week, since we have the bye week coming up after, Caleros is going to be back for the road Hamilton game in 2 weeks. So lots of time for him to kind of get ready and return to his starting duties, I guess.
Let's hope so.
Opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Time now for this week's Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy. This week on the Tallgrass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy, we're joined by Hamilton Tiger Cats receiver Brandon Banks.
Brandon, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, first question I got to ask you is about, are you licking your chops right now, just possibly going up against Deron Carter at defensive back?
I want to say licking my chops. I'm definitely anxious for the opportunity. It's football at the end of the day. I mean, he's another guy in my field. They're trying to stop me from catching the ball, so that's how I'm approaching it, like I do every week. And I am excited for the matchup, and whatever happens, happens.
So is there any kind of special schemes or plans that you guys have to try and, maybe move them around and create mismatches at all?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, we can just go out there what we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. Just going to try to execute our offense. We're not going to try to change nothing, no big time changes. We're going to go out there and try to execute one play at a time.
Could you play defensive back?
I actually could play defensive back all the way through high school. That was like my main position before I realized I was better with the ball. But I'm pretty sure it's probably hard to transfer. I know it's probably tougher to run to transfer to the DB position, but he's an athlete at the end of the day. I mean, he's a good athlete, he's an athlete.
All right, now, speaking of a good athlete, the guy throwing you the ball, Jeremiah Mazzoli, there's nobody else in the league that's, you know, playing with more pressure on him, especially with a guy like Johnny Manziel sitting behind him. Can you speak on just how Jeremiah Mazzoli's performed this year so far and you know, how he's taken, you know, he's been the best player in the league for the first 3 weeks?
Right. I definitely think he's the best player right now in the league. He's definitely playing at top performance. To me, be honest, I always knew Jeremiah had it in him to be the type of player that he is right now. He just had to wait for his opportunity. And I think he kind of embraced that kind of pressure. I mean, that's what kind of athlete he is. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and he definitely got a little bit of swag about himself. So I think the pressure is something that, you know, wakes him up every day and want him to be better as a quarterback and as a leader of our football team. I'm just happy to be on the receiving end of that.
No, with pardon me, with Johnny Manziel there, do you guys as a team kind of relish that extra pressure and the cameras that are there? Because obviously the media is following him around. Is that something you guys have spoke about, or is it just, you know, it's just another camera?
We haven't really spoken about it, but it is, I mean, if you're a professional, I don't know how to approach it in a professional way. I mean, of course, everybody loves the extra attention that comes with Johnny Manziel, but at the end of the day, we're still out here to do a job and at our best of our abilities, and he's a part of the team, and we have to have him here, and he's definitely helping us with what he sees on the field from, you know, the sidelines or whatever. And when he gets his opportunity, I hope he makes the best of it. But for right now, he's definitely you know, a good teammate, and definitely we're taking all in the extra attention, but also we still want to win ball games.
Now, last year, obviously, was a tough start for you guys. When June Jones took over as head coach, things just kind of instantly changed. What was that culture change with June Jones taking over?
It was just a different voice. I mean, we've been hearing the same voice for the last 4 years, or my career, for the last 4 years. And it's just a change of voices to hearing and different schemes we're able to run. And we, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but fortunately, we, you know, have a lot more success than we had in the last the previous 8 games at the beginning of the year last year. So hopefully we can keep building from that, and hopefully we'll never be in that position again.
And you yourself, when he took over, your stats obviously went up, and you proved that you are, again, you know, that all-star that you are. Did something change in you as well?
Not really. I think I've always been the player that I am now. I got more opportunity for sure by being on the offensive side of the ball every play. I touch the ball a lot more than I usually touch, so I think I'm just getting more opportunity to show the type of football player I am, and I'm just taking advantage of it and been working in my favor.
So you're coming to Regina on Thursday here for the game. Thursday night game, TSN's making a big deal, and the league is as well. Just make Thursday night these big primetime games now. Do you find that preparing for a Thursday night game is harder just because it's a shorter week?
Well, I'm kind of the old guy in the league now, so it's definitely a lot harder for me. I remember back when I was younger, I used to say I could play a game every other day. I used to like it back in the show when I was younger. But now that I'm old, I need an extra couple of days. So, I mean, it's cool Thursday night football. It's all cool and getting amped up to play in. But, man, that short week is tough for a guy like me.
So when you're traveling out for games, what's the best city outside of Hamilton, obviously, to travel to and catch a game or and play a game in front of?
I mean, me personally, I think it's Vancouver. I mean, just because of the city and it's indoors, so I don't have to put up with the weather. When we go out west, well, not this time of the year, but later in the year, we go out west, it's pretty cold. So, probably Vancouver other than Hamilton. I mean, I love being at home, sleeping in my bed night before.
So it's safe to say that on vacation, you're definitely not going out to, like, Banff or anything in the winter. You're going out
Not at all.
You're hitting the beach?
Not at all. You know, I'm going straight to the south. I can't do cold weather, man.
Now, if you could tell our listeners here, they're mainly Rider fans, but if you could tell them, what's one thing about Brandon Banks that they might not know about?
One thing about me that they might not know about. I eat a Snickers bar every day. I mean, I'm just saying that's what I do. That's what I do every day. That people probably really don't know too much about me. I have to have a Snickers bar somewhere or another every day.
Right on. Brandon, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That was a chat with Brandon Banks of the Hamilton Tiger Cats here on the Tall Grass Apparel, Engaging with the Enemy. We'll talk a little bit more Tie Cats in just a little bit, but before we do, since we learned a little bit about one other player, let's learn a little bit about a rider. I really want to know. Tell me who are you? This week on the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile, we're going to share with you a chat with Riders linebacker Sam Aguavin.
In the short time you've been here in Saskatchewan, you've become a big-time part of this defense. Tell us about how that all came about and just getting to Saskatchewan in the first place.
Getting to Saskatchewan, what was I doing? I didn't get drafted or picked up by an NFL team in 2015 or whatever. So I was kind of just working. I was working at Foot Locker. And then I just looked up CFL workouts. I ain't know nothing about the CFL. I ain't know no team, any coaches, any players. And Saskatchewan was just the earliest one on the list. And ended up, the workout was on a Sunday. And then I ended up, I skipped church that day. And I didn't even want to go to a workout, but my daddy just dragged me up out of bed. And he was like, man, come on, let's go. Pull up, see a million people there. And then, you know, Coach Jones just worked all us to our bones. And then, luckily, he told me, he's thinking about signing me. And him telling me he's thinking about signing me, that was it. I probably wouldn't go to another workout because it was so hard. But, luckily, he sent me the contract. And then, I came up here and been here ever since.
Now, what do you attribute your success now to?
Like, what do I attribute my success now to? I mean, just being persistent, not giving up, just knowing that there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I know it may seem dark as the way you're going through that tunnel, but, I mean, the tunnel got to end someday. There's always going to be light at the end of the tunnel, so just never give up.
Now, growing up, who did you idolize and who did you mold the way that you play after?
My favorite football player, like any sport or just football player?
We'll go with football first.
My favorite football player was John Beeson. He played linebacker for the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants. That was my favorite football player.
And then outside of football and any other sport?
Probably Tracy McGrady and Paul Pierce. I was a hooper back in the day. Like, that's all I did in high school. I just played basketball, and I just watch YouTube, go outside in my backyard, my back alley, and just mimic all the moves that they'll do.
Well, you're from Texas. Do you ever get to see T-Mac play in Houston?
Nah, I ain't had no way to get to Houston. I was just in Dallas, stuck, just watching TV.
Now, outside of football, what's your favorite sport or team? Obviously basketball, but what's your favorite team?
My favorite team outside of football? I probably have to go with the Texas Rangers.
If you weren't a football player, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't a football player, what would I be doing?
In a perfect world.
In a perfect world, oh, that's tough. I'd probably be flipping houses or try to partner up with the Property Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan and Andrew, yeah, probably try to do something like that.
Now, what would you say is your favorite part about being in Saskatchewan, besides, obviously, football and the fans? Everybody says the fans. You got to pick something different.
Yeah, that's tough. Outside of the fans, what do we got? Albert Street, Broad Street, probably the Casino Regina.
All right, now where's your favorite vacation spot and what are you doing when you're on vacation?
Favorite vacation spot? I don't really vacate that much, but I probably have to say the Bahamas. Yeah, the Bahamas is probably my favorite place to go to, real relaxing. No service out there on my cell phone, so I can just admire the nature.
Just hang out on the beach?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is one person that you'd love to meet and chat with?
Love to meet and chat with. I'd probably have to say Kobe Bryant. Have a sit down talk with either Kobe Bryant or Tom Brady just to see just their mentality about the game and not even just the game, just life, So I feel like they take the proper steps every day and getting better.
Who's your biggest celebrity crush?
biggest celebrity crush? Shoot, right now, I can't really think of a big name, but I know some girls on IG that I'm crushing on. Russia Lit, Bundles of Britney. Who else? But probably the biggest name, I'll go with Keisha Cole.
Good choice. What's your favorite breakfast cereal?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, that's the right answer, by the way. What's the most embarrassing moment of your life that you're willing to share with Rider fans?
The most embarrassing moment of my life, I would have to go with, I was in the fourth grade and I had to write a paper. I forgot what the paper was about, but I thought I killed the paper. Like, the paper was great. And at the very end, I said, remember to always give in. Give in, like, I didn't know that give in meant give up. But, you know, my teacher wrote, she was like, why would you write so much positive stuff in this paper and then tell everybody to give up? I was like, no, give in, like, give in. She was like, give in means to give up. And, yeah, that was probably the most embarrassing moment of my life.
All right, now we're coming up to the bye week right away here. What's your plans for the bye week?
I'm staying out here, try to stay out of the casino. I'm going to watch a lot of film this bye week, honestly. Just watch a lot of film and just put myself in the worst case scenarios, like when I'm working out and just doing a lot of mental work over these first four games that we're about to play, just doing a lot of mental work, just self-scouting myself and just seeing how I can be better for the rest of the season.
Sam, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
There's a chat with Riders linebacker Sam Aguavin here on the Cypress Hills Destination Area Piffles Player Profile. And, you know, and while we're profiling people, let's keep going. Time to learn a little bit about Rider Nation. And this is, I mentioned this last week, but I'm serious. This is really becoming my favorite segment of the show. We're going to talk to our week four winner of the Piffles Fan Contest. This week, it's Liz Peradzik of Buffalo Narrows. And we're going to share her Rider Pride with you now.
Joining us this week on the Piffles Podcast is our week four winner of our Piffles Podcast Fan Contest. Our winner this week is Liz Peradzik of Buffalo Narrows. Liz, thanks for taking our call today.
Yep, sure.
Now, first off, how long have you been a fan of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
For a little over 20 years.
Now, how did you get into cheering for the Riders in the first place? What made you a fan of the team?
Well, it mainly came down to a game day get-togethers at friends' homes who were already Rider fans. And, you know, being born and raised in Saskatchewan, can't see for cheering for anybody else.
Now, what is your very first Saskatchewan Rough Riders memory?
Men in tights. I'm sorry, that also got me watching football, so...
Just the nice pants they're wearing, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure my wife will actually agree with that. I think that's what got her a fan, too. Do you have season tickets at all?
No, I don't. I live too far from Regina.
Who do you watch games with?
When I do go to Regina, lately it has been myself and my buddy Holly. We drive to Saskatoon and take a bus to Regina.
Approximately how long of a road trip is that?
From Buffalo Narrows, it's like 900 kilometers one way.
That's some pretty hard dedication. I couldn't imagine spending 9 hours getting here for a game. So kudos to you for that.
Hey, thanks.
What is your favorite part of going to a Rider game?
It's the atmosphere. I just love it and being part of the Big Green family.
Do you have any game day rituals at all?
But the only thing is just wearing my jersey all morning, all day long, I guess.
Do you have a certain jersey that you have to wear every game?
Not really. I have too many, so I just pick one.
out of your jerseys, which ones are your favorite in your collection?
I'd have to say, Andy Fantuz, I guess, and Weston Dressler. I also like my black 2013 Grey Cup jersey, mainly because we also won the Grey Cup that year.
That's a nice reminder, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's awesome.
Who's your favorite current Rider and why?
I'd have to say it's Carter. Darrell Carter. I love his skill and his attitude a bit, and also the interaction with the fans, like taking them to movies and all that kind of stuff. I like that. That's awesome.
I love Daron Carter too. I don't know how anybody could hate this man. He's just out there, and he's a character, and like you said, the interaction with his fans is priceless, and so that's a really good choice. Who would be your favorite rider of all time?
Okay, that would be a hard one. Well, I do have a couple, and of course it's Santuz and Dressler again, right? Skill and looks. They all look out for getting Santuz flakes and the old Dressler chips.
Do you still have those?
I actually do. I even have a Darien's Dorio still.
That's amazing. What's your favorite rider possession that you own?
I'd have to say it's my jerseys. But I do also like my Royal Canadian Mint CFL set, the one that has the Mini Grey Cup in it. Got that from the post office a few years back.
Oh, awesome. Now, besides Grey Cup wins, what is your favorite rider moment of all time?
Picking up Brendan Labatt and Neil Hughes at the airport here in Buffalo and chauffeuring them around. They had brought the Grey Cup to Buffalo after the 2013 win.
So you actually got to go to the airport and drive them around. How did that come apart? How did that come around?
Well, the principal at our local school here is where Brendan and Neil came to. She called me knowing that I'm a big rider fan and just offered me to pick them up and chauffeur them around. So I wasn't going to turn that down.
And so they didn't make a mess in your car or anything, did they?
Oh, no. They were good.
Now, besides Regina, what is your favorite CFL city to watch a game in and why?
I'd have to say Edmonton. It's a lot closer to home for me than Regina is, with 3 hours less drive one way.
Mm-hmm.
And Montreal, too, is another good place that we went, and it's also a vacation getaway.
Oh, you can't go wrong with going to Montreal, especially if you can spend a few days down there as well.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
And Liz, final question for you. What does rider pride mean to you?
Just always being behind them, I guess. So love them when they're up, love them when they're down, and just love those guys all year round. Win or lose, right?
I love it. Liz, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your rider pride with the world here with us.
You're most welcome.
Now, don't forget, you can enter into our fan contest by going to piffelspodcast.com, get entered into a weekly prize valued at $90, and of course, everybody that enters gets put into the draw at the very end of the year for the grand prize draw. Winner of that's going to get a new Rider jersey, Rider Store gift card, Mr. Mike's gift cards, a whole bunch of other gift certificates and prizes as well, too. So enter in now and get entered in for that. And while you're on our site, also go to riderfans.com. They also have a weekly contest going, and Steve, you're kind of in charge of that these couple weeks. Check out the Why Not Weekly Contest.
Oh, it's just a fun contest every week, trying to predict what's going to happen throughout the game with the rider game going on, who's going to get more yards, who's going to get, you know, the first points. It's just a contest to see how well we can see what's going to happen with the team going on. And I can tell you right now, one of the questions this week is going to be, will Brandon Banks go over 100 yards receiving? I would suggest clicking yes on that one if I were a betting man.
If he's lined up against Daron. So get on there and win some prizes with Rider fans. Let's move on here. Let's talk a little bit about this upcoming game here against Hamilton. So as we know, this game coming up is on Thursday night. And of course, that means Thursday night football on TSN. And joining us right now to talk a little bit about that is Brody Lawson with the CFL. Brody, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me in, team. This is the best. Cookies, Penelope,
right,
friends.
What more can you ask for?
Literally nothing.
We treat everyone good here.
But like, maybe especially me.
Especially you.
I'm just going to say. I want to feel extra special.
There you go.
Totally kidding.
Nobody else gets cookies, though.
Totally
so.
Kidding.
That
you know,
includes
Amy's
the co-hosts.
Yeah, well, that's your own problem.
I will share.
You don't have
a
to.
A few.
So you're here for the game on Thursday. The Thursday night games, TSN and the CFL are making it a big thing now. That's the big, I guess, party night.
Yeah,
is what we want to go. So how did that all come about in league and TSN discussions?
Well, to your point, I think Friday night football is always like the marquee event, right? That's like the Friday night football, the big song, and we're really going to get in depth with football. But I think our age group and our demo knows that Thursday night is when people like to go out and they like to party. People have their Saturday night plans, but Thursday night is a night where people want to let loose. Maybe they want to, you know, they'll go to a restaurant or they'll go to a bar. And so I think the idea was like, how do we work Thursday night into kind of our age demo and a younger age demo and make football be the thing that you want to do or you want to tune in to watch it? You get to your, you know, you get your friends together. I was obviously not privy to those discussions, but from the discussions I've been a part of, it's all about making that game on broadcast and from a league perspective, just really fresh and letting fans that maybe either haven't had an experience with the CFL or maybe are coming back to it a chance to see it in kind of a fresh way. And so that's what the Thursday Night Concert Series is all about. Tim Hicks is going to be here on Thursday.
That's going to be a cool show.
Which is crazy. Any Canadian country fans, period. We had James Barker Band on the week before and Jamie Fine and Elijah Woods the week before that, and obviously the Rec Laws. So it's all just, I don't know. I think it's cool. Do you guys think it's cool? Like, you can tell that it's happening, which is good.
People are talking about it. Even if they don't like the shows, they're still talking about it, and they're watching, and that's what's most important, and obviously that'll grow on people. You get, you know, your core fans that are, give me the X's and O's more than anything, and that's all they want. But,
and fair enough, right? Fair enough.
But they're still getting that too.
Yeah, it's not like we're not doing that, and TSN's not doing that. I mean, I'm not always watching the broadcast live, but it's just, let's add a little something different. You know, you've never been to Calgary. Well, like, what's Quick Six and what's that all about? And this week I'm going to go to Pill Country and hang out. So fans that are watching from Vancouver, from Toronto, were like, well, what's Pill Country and who hangs out there and what's that all about? We want people to feel like they're a part of the league, not just a part of the city that they're in. Help bring them in.
Your role coming up, obviously you do the Facebook show before. So what's coming up this week at the game here?
So we're live, Party in the Park at 6 o'clock local time. It'll be me, Davis Sanchez. That's our show, CFL Game Time, which is going to be live. If you can't come hang out with us, but you should, you can tune in live on Facebook, on the CFL Facebook page or cfl.ca/live. This week, we've got a 20 questions with Greg Ellingson. We've got Text from My Mom with Luke Tasker. Plus, Davis and I obviously break down the game and talk football. Tim Hicks is going to be on the show, so that'll be awesome. And then from there, I basically like rush over to the stadium to start live with TSN. So it's like,
there's no rest for the wicked then.
It's just like very quick. It's like a very quick turnaround. Like last week, and they were like, they need you in 3 minutes. And I was like, no, like running down the stairs. So stressed. Poor Chelsea Drake, who rides Quick Six. It's like, I'm not ready. I'm like, you look great. Let's just do it. Anyway, so then I kind of start with the TSN broadcast at that point.
Yeah. Now, I know from experience, if you need to kill an extra few minutes when talking to Greg Ellingson, we learned this at CFL Week, bring up Fortnite. You'll have a solid few minutes of talk with him on that.
There's a lot of CFL Fortnite fans because that's what Deontay Spencer-Selly is. That like kick the tap with Trevor Harris, like tap, then he kicks his leg. I can't do it, but that's pretty much a Fortnite thing.
Any dance you see on the camera on the fan cams, they're all coming from that. I don't know what they are. You gotta start playing.
I don't even know what it is. What do I need? Xbox, GameCube, I think PS3. What do I need?
On all of those.
You're welcome. You're welcome. There's your laugh.
There's that loser dance. I was at work one day and some kid's like, hey, can I show you a dance? I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, I'm gonna do the loser dance, but it doesn't mean you're a loser. I'm like, okay. So he puts his little finger on his head and he starts wiggling around. I'm like, What are you doing? He's like, it's from Fortnite.
Damn. Okay. This is how we're going to have to stay cool.
Yeah.
Video games.
This is all foreign.
We have so much free time,
That's
guys.
What the kids are doing.
Let's get going.
Step one, probably don't bring up GameCube.
Yeah, step one.
Now flipping it a little bit, you spent your offseason doing the grind with players across the CFL. First off, what was that like? And second, who was the hardest workout out of all the ones that you had to deal with?
It was the coolest experience so far of my career, short of maybe going to visit our troops overseas. It was really cool. I tried to show in the series how, I don't know, warm and friendly and engaging the guys were and how open they were to letting us come and hang out with them. Deontay Spencer, to bring him up again, we had said, you know, after our workout, why don't we, you know, let's go grab a meal. We'd love to take you out. Because these guys were just doing this on their free time. And it wasn't, like, we were fairly invasive. Like, we're filming you working. Anyway, so he had set up a whole like afternoon basically where we went back to his high school, and his principal did a tour of the school for us, and he showed us the gym he worked out in, and then he took us over for a crawfish boil, and they opened the restaurant for us, for our crew. So just things like that where you're in this moment, you're like, how is this my job? And the workouts themselves were also really neat. It was a chance to get to know players better that I interview a lot during the season and get to connect with them in a different way. But more than anything, and I'm truly not just saying this, I just wanted fans to feel like they got to know guys better. I wanted people to watch it and leave and be like, that guy's a cool dude. Like, I'm going to watch how he does this year. And I remember that thing he did during his workout. But your second question, the hardest workout was Odell Willis. For fans that haven't seen that, you can go to the CFL Facebook page. But it was in a South Atlanta gym. It ended up being about 2 hours. It is Marcus Ball's dad is the trainer, and he is like a drill sergeant. So we did a full workout, and then we did a cardio boot camp. And we were supposed to drive to Jacksonville, Florida, which I'm going to butcher this, but I think it's like a 5 or 6 hour drive. And I had to say, like, I need to shower. Like, is there somewhere I can go? Like, I had sweat through my clothes. It was a mess. So anyway, it was really hard. And I got the flu that day. So I caught the flu in Atlanta. So I was already feeling a little shaky. It really went downhill after Atlanta. It was rough.
Who was the coolest guy that you got to work out with? Like the coolest workout.
Coolest
experience.
Oh man. I'm trying to think. Simone Lawrence in Hamilton was really cool. We worked out with him at a gym in just out, like around San Jose.
He started at a hashtag pray for Brody.
Pray for Brody, which was quite like serious. So again, for people that haven't seen this, the reason why it felt very cool was it was very state of the art. Like every workout was cool in its own way. This workout was cool because we were in this really kind of fancy gym in San Jose where the gym is owned by like the top orthopedic surgeon one of the top orthopedic surgeons in California, and his trainer is his son. So we got to have like a tour of the clinic, and there's like every pro athlete you can think of. This guy does their knee. And then we wrap these bands, which you guys saw, around our legs, and they pump up the air pressure. So your circulation is essentially cut off, and it creates like your body short circuits. So you go into an anaerobic state more quickly. And you get really lightheaded. It's really scary. So it's just cool because I've never seen it before. And I've worked out with a ton of trainers and done a lot of different stuff. And it just felt very cutting edge. But Bear Woods in Alabama, getting up literally at 5 a.m. to go to the little gym and watching the sun come up. And like I did everything you saw was real. Like we did not fake one rep. We did not fake anything. Like that is exactly what happened. So those ones stand out. And then for riders, love Willie Jefferson. Didn't know him before. Like, new fave guy. It's like lankiest, longest, pushed so hard, so friendly. And then we worked out with Jaron Carter on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. And we were like, is he going to show up? Is he not going to show up? Like, we, like, didn't want to say that he was going to be in the episode because we're like, who knows? And he did show up, and he was hilarious. And he took us, and he bought us lunch, which was hysterical. Like, such a good dude. So those are some highlights.
But the food you must have had when you were down there, right?
Out of control.
What was did you try anything that was kind of out of your comfort zone that you've never had before?
The crawfish boil was really out of my comfort zone. Like, I love seafood, but it's still different. They still serve it to you and you're eating it only with your hands, like dump it on a platter.
You have to pull it out of the shells too, don't you?
Yeah. And then Deontay's like, you pull it and then you have to like, you have to suck on the like part that basically has the head.
Yep.
He's like, you got to suck that to get the juice out. And I'm like, oh, but I'm only here once. So I guess I have to do it. And I was just like, this is so gross, but it was so good. That was out of my comfort zone. Oh man, I'm going to miss something. I can't remember, but we met up with Sir Vincent Rogers in Texas and he took us out for barbecue. Not out of my comfort zone. Well, very, very, very good. Yeah, that was kind of one of the weirder things. I feel like there's something I'm missing, but that was really good. That crawfish. Oof. Have you guys had crawfish?
No.
Crawfish
I'm not a seafood.
So you would have hated this.
Hated it, yeah.
And they took us back where they're all crawling around before they dumped them in. Yeah, oh my gosh, I have to show you a video after.
No.
You're going to freak. Ew. Yeah, it was crazy.
So you can check that out on The Grind on the CFL website.
Yes, totally. CFL.ca/The Grind.
And so after you're done in Regina here, where's Brody off to next?
Next week, we are in Ottawa. We're back to Ottawa. It's basically wherever the Thursday night game is. We are all in on Thursday nights. So last week I was in Calgary, this week here, next week in Ottawa, and then I think we're in Hamilton, which I'm based out of Toronto, so it means a week at home, which is
nice.
Nice. Yeah. Which is nice.
Well, yes. We look forward to everything that goes down this Thursday. Brody, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you at the tailgate.
Thanks for having me in, and thanks for the cookies.
Hey, no problem.
Amazing.
Brody Lawson of the CFL here, and she's a sweetheart. She's great.
Cosign.
Thirded. Motion passed.
Brody, you're a hit, and we look forward to seeing you at the tailgate. So get out there and hit up the tailgate. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff going there, and of course, Tim Hicks is going to be there and also performing at halftime, so that's going to be pretty cool. So stay in your seats for that. Now, on to the game itself. Let's get a game preview here. Let's bring in the opposition right now. Let's bring in Josh Smith of Potsky Wee Wee to talk about this game. Josh, thanks for taking our call.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now, first question, everybody wants to, you know, everyone's talking about Jerron Carter at cornerback here in Saskatchewan. Possibly going up against Brandon Banks, and we've seen the last couple weeks he's gotten absolutely burned by Chris Williams and Deontay Spencer. Is this something that you think Hamilton's going to exploit?
I would hope so. I made the very bold proclamation on our show this week that he would go for 200 yards. So I hope he makes me look good. Mike tried to one-up me by saying he'd go for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, but I think that might be wishful thinking. But yeah, look, we've seen speedy receivers go up against Jerron Carter the last couple of weeks and for the most part have a fair amount of success. So I got to think that Speedy B, Speedy's his nickname for crying out loud, he's going to see a lot of Jerron Carter, and I think it could portend for good things for the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
So what you're saying is I should probably put Brandon Banks in my fantasy team if I'm throwing a little money down?
I think that would be a very good idea.
Now, outside of the obvious being Jeremiah Masoli, who has been the biggest surprise to you on the Ticats roster so far this year?
Ooh, surprise. There's been so many because it seems like every week it's a new guy stepping up. I guess I'll go with a pair of Canadian running backs, Mercer Timmis and Sean Thomas Erlington. Two guys that last 2 weeks each have gotten a chance to perform, and we've seen, I think it was 130-plus and 2 touchdowns from Timmis against the Eskimos. We saw Sean Thomas Erlington go for, I think it was around 95 or so yards, and Timmis had 2 touchdowns in the game against the Bombers. So it's those two guys, these Canadian draft picks, especially Sean Thomas Erlington, the guy went in the 8th round 2 years ago or so, performing at such a high level. You don't normally see that. So yeah, those are probably the two guys. But if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, like, name some playmakers, the obvious guys in the receiving core would have come up. Masoli, as you mentioned. Guys that no one would have said are those two. I think those are kind of the two breakout stars for the Ticats so far in the early portion of the season.
Now, switching things over to the defense, what does the defense need to do here to, take advantage of what seems to be a really struggling Riders offense?
You know, it's kind of tough because I feel like the mobility of Brandon Bridge, who I believe is going to start in this game, could present some difficulties for the Ticats defense. We saw Chris Strebler a week ago. He was able to get some runs there and scored a touchdown on a rush, had some decent runs when the play broke down. I just think that if they can hem Bridge in and force him to make some throws, as much as I hate to say it, because I really do like you guys out there in Saskatchewan, I think we could see a few interceptions because Bridge's accuracy is not great. So if they can bring some pressure and kind of keep Bridge from being able to extend the play, I think the Ticats could have some success in that area.
Now, prediction time. Do you think Masoli ties the record for most consecutive 300-yard games?
I do. No one's been able to hem this guy in, and I feel like it's no offense to Saskatchewan, but I don't know if with the max protect that the Ticats use with their 6 linemen and their 7 blockers, I feel like that could keep that very, very talented front four at bay, giving Masoli time to get guys like Banks and Tasker and Saunders and Tolliver and even Mike Jones, get him the ball, make plays. I can't see him not going for over 300 yards.
And final prediction from you here, game score, what's it going to be?
I'm going to say the Ticats kind of win this one in a bit of a romp. I'll say 34-20 for Hamilton.
I think the Riders get 20 points.
Yes, I think that Bridge will have some success early. then the defense will come out in the second half and kind of put them to sleep. But yeah, I do think they'll score some points.
I'd be happy with that after back-to-back 17-point weeks. And and Josh, if people want to hear more about the Podski Weeby podcast, where can they go?
You can go to Three Down Nations, where we post the show every week. So you can go there and find it. You can find Podski Weeby on all of your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Google, Stitcher. We're on a ton of them. So if you can just look it up, you'll find it. And, of course, if you want to hit us up on social media, we have our own social media platform. We got Podski Weeby on Twitter. We got Podski Weeby on Instagram. We got myself on Twitter at @JoshSmith_E2. We got my co-host, Mike Graham. He's on Twitter at @Mike_TyCats. And, yeah, just hit us up and find us, find the show, and have a good listen.
Well, I know Mike's a really good guy. He actually sat right in front of us at Grey Cup last year.
And we didn't know about it until this halftime when he came up. He's like, "You're Safamod." Should have recognized the fanny pack.
Yeah, that sounds like Mike.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
There's Josh Smith of the Podski Weeby podcast, looking at the Hamilton side of things. Now, flipping it back on to us, talking about the Riders here. Keys to winning this game. What do the Riders have to do?
Keep Brandon Bridge and or David Watford upright as often as possible. You know, one thing I liked from the Montreal game that we saw, especially in the fourth quarter with Watford, was they were moving the pocket. They were getting Watford outside, trying to make mobile pass or mobile quarterbacks pocket passes does not work in the CFL. So having them get outside the pocket and actually move the pocket around was certainly helping. We saw them move the ball a little bit. So to me, that's a big change. They need to keep that aspect and keep the pocket moving, keep the defenses honest.
Now, what are you watching for on offense specifically?
I'm watching for Jerome Messam. I want to see how they use him again.
You think they're actually going to use him this time?
And he was pissed.
He was very diplomatic about it. So props to him for that, but you can tell the guy wants to play.
And why wouldn't he? He's earned that spot more. So, I mean, sorry to Thigpen and Mason, but they didn't do a whole heck of a lot with the opportunity they were given. And we know in this offense, we're not going to run the ball a ton. I don't understand why you don't keep the Canadian on there if you're going to run the ball 8, 9, 10 times a game.
Well, and you've seen it in the first game against Toronto. Why were they successful on offense? Because they moved, like, it was slow but steady, but they ran the ball. Didn't have the greatest average, but got the tough yards when you needed them. So I'm curious to see if they actually do run the ball. And for me, what I'm going to watch on offense is that offensive line. Again, like you said, you got to keep the quarterback, Brandon Bridge, upright. But I want to see the receivers make plays.
Other than Naaman Roosevelt.
Other than Roosevelt. And he made that catch. But even if it's Marcus Thigpen coming out of the backfield, you got to make those catches. Like, this has to be almost a perfect game by the offense for them to win. No turnovers, just no mistakes. We've seen that they can move the ball and they can kick field goals. They need to finish drives. And I want to see them put up 7, not 3. So however they get it, I don't care. I don't care if it's a big play. I don't care if it's, you know, a 20-play drive. Just finish.
So you want to see more than one touchdown a game offensively?
That would be nice, because they're only outscoring their defense by one touchdown so far this year.
How awful is that?
That's pretty bad.
I mean,
I'd say that's Montreal levels of bad, but that's about right.
Yeah.
What are you watching on defense?
Just the defense as a whole. They've performed more or less up to my expectations. Obviously, the Ottawa game is a...
anomaly?
Yeah, anomaly is the best word for it. I've come to expect great things from the defense that they're putting on the field. I hope that they do something to cover Daron Carter a little bit more, because if he's covering up against, or if he's going up, lining up against Brandon Banks for even half that game, Banks is going to eat him alive. And it's not going to be fun to watch. So I hope that they do something there to give him help, because he's not a bad defensive back. He's just not a good one, and he's not fast enough to cover the guys they're asking him to cover.
Well, and if he's going to keep on playing that short corner spot, I'm curious why they don't put Javon Johnson there and put Daron at wideside. I know you probably don't want to have Daron against or lined up beside Creston Butler, because there's not a lot of CFL experience between those two, but how many times have you heard Creston Butler's name?
Who?
That's a good thing. You don't want to hear your defensive back's names unless they're getting interceptions.
Yep.
So if you're not hearing him, he's shutting his receiver down. And that's what Creston Butler has been doing. You can kind of mask Daron Carter with that and put Ed Gainey and Javon Johnson on the one side, completely lock that side down. And you can have your safeties kind of shadow over to Butler and Carter.
That seems logical. Why don't you look at becoming our defensive coordinator? Because that would work substantially better than what we've seen these last few weeks.
Well, we've seen there's only one hat available for defensive coordinator, but it's also worn by the general manager and head coach and
VP of
football ops and
water boy,
whatever else he does.
Yeah. You should do all of those things.
I probably could. I probably could right now.
Man, I would actually be a lot different if you made $800,000 a year.
But I would put Daron Carter on offense, though, so I guess I'm not qualified now. Hopefully it's a good game. I think it'll be close, and we'll do predictions here in just a minute, but they need to show up this game. They cannot come out flat again. And I know that drop touchdown pass by Marcus Thigpen kind of set the tone for the evening this past Saturday, but they can't afford to let that happen.
I refuse to let last game be blamed on that. There were still 55 minutes of football.
Oh, they
left.
Had dozens of chances.
That as nice as that first touchdown would have been, the idea that that was anything to do with what happened, that's just Rider fans grasping at straws, hoping that they can make it seem like we could have won that game.
Well, they almost did on that final safety kick of the game, and
so much fun.
I
just say I love the call from Montreal to
waste
run
time.
Around. I didn't think they would have had the time to do that, especially so deep. But that was a smart call.
And the Riders weren't ready for it.
Yeah,
they had to react late to it, and
I don't know
by
why
the time they did, it was way too late.
I don't know why the Riders don't on that play send everybody by Christian Jones.
Yeah.
You have nothing to lose.
They have to give him 5 yards anyway, so. Like, whatever.
You're not going to get enough. The odds of returning that punt for a touchdown are slim and none, especially the way that that game had gone. That blew my mind. Because wouldn't have changed much, but just seems like those little coaching decisions are what are sinking the team right now. So maybe there's hope.
Well, I hope that there's hope.
I feel it, but I'm a homer, so don't trust anything I say.
And don't trust anything I say. I'm a realist. So let's do our week four picks here. And we'll start, obviously, with the Thursday night game that's here, Hamilton at Saskatchewan. Do the Riders bounce back?
Nope.
You got Hamilton?
Hamilton.
I'm going Saskatchewan. And I realize that I'm basically, three hairs on my head short of being the full homer, but I don't think a team that got embarrassed the way we have the last 2 weeks comes out as flat.
This team has always played up to their competition and down to their competition. We saw that last week against Montreal where they played down. They have to have a bounce back game because if they go 1-3 and are staring at a losing streak then, not just back to back, going into a bye week, that's going to be a week and a half of people calling for heads.
Then this is still the same team that many, including all of us, predicted would be a playoff-bound team, and for a lot of people, a Grey Cup contender. It's still the same people on the field. It's still the same guy wearing the headset on the sidelines. The team is there. I'm not ready to lose faith yet. I think they win this one. I think it's a 6-point win.
I really want to agree with you, Steve, and I do think you're right, but I will pick Hamilton for pick'em reasons, which I'm not keeping track of this year, but if anybody's out there keeping track, I'm picking Hamilton. Ottawa and Montreal in the live mic game.
Ottawa.
Montreal.
Two in a row.
I think so. I think the win, no matter how bad they were, I think the win will give them their little bit of swagger back, and it'll last a little bit. They're still going to be the fourth place team in the East, but I think they win, and Ottawa looks awful.
They can look awful and still beat Montreal. Ottawa. Edmonton at Toronto, and this is James Franklin's first start as an Argo and up against his former team.
We should call Andrew from Eskimo Empire and have him predict this one for us with his love of James Franklin.
It's only fun calling him after we talked to Warren Moon, though.
Edmonton.
Oh, yeah, Edmonton.
I'm going with Toronto. I think Franklin shows them exactly what they not missed out on because they have Mike Riley, but what they don't have anymore. And finally, BC at Winnipeg. And there could possibly be a new quarterback in place for Winnipeg. Matt Nichols was taken off a 6-game list.
and Winnipeg needs him. I've been very vocal. I don't think Chris Streveler has been anywhere near as good as all the talk about him has been. If Streveler plays, BC wins. If Nichols plays, Winnipeg wins.
BC.
Regardless of who their quarterback is, Winnipeg wins. They're at home. They're a better overall team. And, of course, Calgary on the bye week this week before the Riders head out on theirs the week after. All right, now let's end the show with a little bit of fun here. Time for Would You Rather. Amy, take it away. Whoa.
She's getting serious this time.
That was aggressive.
I'm gonna decide for Greg as well today.
All right, that's fair.
Okay, I have two questions again.
Again?
Yep.
Oh.
It's better. I like it better that way.
All right.
Would you rather never have cookies again or never have French fries again?
Fries. Give me the cookies all day long.
Really?
Yep, 100%. I love me some good French fries.
You can't have Five Guys Cajun fries ever again in your life.
Nothing beats a good cookie.
I couldn't have Dairy Queen fries.
Nope.
Dipped in a blizzard.
Nope.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, there is, but that's not it. Yeah, absolutely. Give me the cookies all day long.
Even if you only have cookies like once a month?
Yeah, that's fine. Me and Charleston Heels will sit down and eat cookies. It'll be great.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, cookies, and it's not even close. Yeah. I love French fries. They're fantastic, but there's nothing better than a good cookie. And just to make you feel better, Greg takes French fries. He'll keep the French fries.
Would you rather win $50,000 or let your best friend win $500,000?
Oh, I'm greedy. I'm taking the money. I'm just terrible.
What's your answer?
Well, you're my best friend.
See, that's my answer too. So I would rather let my best friend win $500,000 because then I get half of that, right?
Yeah, but only half. I don't think
that's all right. I'll take that. Definitely.
I don't think that's the spirit of the question.
Yeah, but my best friend is Alex.
Well, in that case, yeah, my best friend would be my wife, and I would gladly give her $500,000.
Okay, well, Steve, let's say you're my best friend. I'll let you have the $500,000 because I would just say, hey, dude, I'll give you $500,000 if you give me half of it. Would you be happier with $250,000 or just $50,000?
But are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to say, if I tell you this, you win $250,000 or $500,000, or is it tomorrow there's a lottery?
Making too many variables again on this segment.
Does it matter?
Well, yeah. $50,000. Well,
okay. So your best, you know, your best friend wins $500,000. You're allowed to say, "Hey, I'm gonna throw you this bone. It's up to you whether you throw me something back."
See, if you're allowed to be the sole responsibility of why that person wins $500,000, that changes everything. Then, yeah, I would do that.
Even if they gave you nothing.
My friends do suck.
You really would find out who your true friends are, hey?
See, $50,000 wouldn't change
your life.
It would make it a lot
easier for a little bit,
yeah.
Right?
It would knock out some debt, but I'd still have to pay for a house.
Yeah.
You know, that money would be gone in an instant. $500,000 to a friend, hell, I could have a few solid parties off of that. Even if they gave me nothing, there's definite parties there. So, yeah, make my friends happy.
All right.
And what would Greg pick?
Oh, Greg's greedy. He takes the money.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Another edition of Would You Rather here on the Piffles Podcast. That's going to do it for us this week here on the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Next week's show, we're going to recap the Riders game against Hamilton, hopefully talking about a win because going into bye weeks with a loss absolutely suck. So let's hope that doesn't happen. And we'll see what else we can dig up. There won't be an engaging with the enemy because we'd literally be talking to nobody.
Talk to Greg.
Greg of today because he's
Not saying he's the enemy. Wait, am I?
We'll talk a lot of great CFL stuff. There's going to be some Rider news coming out of that bye week as well too. So we'll talk about all of that. In the meantime, check out piffelspodcast.com. You're going to find the latest Riders and other CFL content, Tuesday takes, power rankings, CFL slants, interviews, and other shows, and much more on there. Give us a follow on Twitter. You can follow us at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at Real Alex D.
You can follow me at Safamod.
I am at Real Amy D.
Give us a like on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Piffles Podcast. Check us out on Instagram as well. Just search Piffles Pod. And of course, the website, piffelspodcast.com. And while you're there, check out that fan contest. Over $2,500 in prizes were given away this year to you, the Rider fans. And all we want to do is just find out more about Rider Nation. What makes you a great? What makes you great? Like, you're a good fan. What makes you a fan? When did you learn to love the team? What's your favorite possession? All that kind of stuff. Piffle's podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Special thank you to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. Also, thank you to Tallgrass Apparel and Cypress Hills Destination Area for their support to make this show possible. Thank you for listening. We're going to leave you with Beauty Killed the Beast. Check them out on Facebook. This is Hometown.